Accession number 29243, reel number 3.
Youngsters, they've got cakes and sandwiches and sausage rolls and things like that. Now, we didn't. We all in short trousers. We all almost as if we were all in uniform. We all had short trousers. Most of us had little caps. We all had little jackets. Now, on the table itself, we had trestle tables in the village hall, and it was all laid out, and our party consisted of a plate with one sandwich on it, and I think we had a choice, one sausage roll, one mince pie, and then a little cup beside it with a jelly in it. And then there was a drink of orange or lemonade or whatever. That was our party. And it, you know, by comparison to what youngsters get today and everything, thank God, and we thought this was a terrific party, you know, at the time. I always remember that being so stark. Yeah.
And what else went on at the party? Did you do the usual party?
Well, we had the usual party games and things. Pass the parcel, I think it was.
And do you remember when the, because a lot of men from the village went to the war, didn't they?
That's right.
Yeah. And, I mean, did you have the sort of any celebrations to when they came home or that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of flags and bunting put out, particularly where people had been. But I think most of that was after the actual...
Yeah.
After the actual thing, because quite a number of the people who were in the war, they were still in the services, as it were. So, but there was a big parade in the church, and I think the actual photograph of the parade is in the village hall there with Reuben Manrin and Mr. Ritchie. He was who lived in Church House, and there's one or two of the village people I still remember, Sid Kent, and I can remember some of them. Don Gallup, who he's still alive, but he doesn't come out. And I don't know if you've talked to him, have you? Because he was in the Air Force.
No, no. We may have him down on our list. I'll have a check.
Well, he was in the Air Force.
Yeah, John Gallup, is it?
Don Gallup. Yeah. And he lives opposite the bus stop. Almost opposite the bus stop, just in Filston Lane there. Who else was there that I can remember? Well, Sid Kent, he's died now. Mr. Ritchie's died. So that's it, a lot of them have died who went. Tom Butler. Tom Butler, he was, he lived down, his wife is still lives down Crown Road, Margaret. He was taken prisoner in Burma. And he was in a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and he was quite rather badly treated. And I think to the day he died, he wouldn't touch anything that was Japanese. My father's two of my father's brothers, three of my father's brothers were in the war. One of my uncles, he was a squadron leader in the Royal Air Force. In fact, I've got his medals now because he's died.
I mean, if this is the sort of thing that you feel able to lend to our exhibition...
Well, let me just show you. A bit scrappy, it should came up. There are his medals.
Oh, yes.
They're the miniatures, of course. But, you know, you can borrow those for me, but obviously when the exhibition's over, I'd like them back, of course.
Oh, yes.
But...
this is the Defence Medal.
One's a Defence Medal there, one's a Burma Star.
In the oak leaves, is that mentioned in dispatches?
Yes.
Then
there's the Burma Star there. That's Palestine, that's the GSM.
Yes.
The one on the end. For Palestine. Strangely enough, I've got that medal because I got it when I was in Cyprus. But I've got a Cyprus clasp on it.
Oh, well, I mean, I won't take them now, but
no.
If you could, I would like to have them.
Well, I'll clean them up if you
and
want
if you
them.
Could put a little note saying what each are.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. What they are and whose they were. Yeah.
Yes. That's
yeah.
So
okay.
We, you know, the sort of thing that we would.
Yeah. Well, because he was, you know, it's well, he was a village lad.
Yeah.
So it is relevant to the war and to Shoreham.
Yes.
Another uncle. He was now my uncle Roy, and now he is still alive, and he lives in Tamworth. He's 80. How old? How old am I? I'm 80. I'm 68, so he must be 88, coming up 89.
But he's not. Did he ever live in Shoreham?
Oh yeah, he was born in Shoreham, and he worked at the co-op, you know, as a boy, and he worked at the farm.
Where is he?
He lives in Surbiton in Surrey.
Oh, well, we could go to. We have, you know, we've got travelling expenses. We can go see him. Yes.
Well, I'm sure he might like to talk to you. He could tell you about because
well,
he drove Monty in out in Africa.
Yeah. Well, if, you know, I'll be dropping you the consent form, the copyright form. If on the back, you know, you could give me his address or anything else.
Well, I'll give him a ring and make sure that he'd be happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he would.
Yeah.
Now, another one, and Ivan, he was in the Royal Artillery, but he's dead now. Now, is there anything else? No, can't think of anything at this stage unless you can prompt me.
And then, you know, to wrap this up, there were a lot of big changes in the village, weren't there, after the war?
I suppose up until and during the war, Shoreham was a village where families all lived together and stayed with the village. Mm. You know, my own family is a good example of that. Several, you know, four generations of my family have lived in the village. The war, at the end of the war, that changed. In the 1950s where things started to move. The old Shoreham place was pulled down and Shoreham Place was built. New houses were built there, and then people started buying up houses. The Mildmay estate started to break up. It was sold off in bits and pieces and what have you. So there became in that particular era a them and us. But you know, I'm talking about the 50s now. And it slowly evolved into what it is now, which I think is quite a good mix now. You've lost the them and us attitude now, but it has changed a great deal. In that the village itself hasn't changed a great deal, but it's the people have changed. Whereas the people who lived here, which was the us, inverted commas, they couldn't afford to buy houses in the village, so they moved out. But people from London came to buy houses in Shoreham so they could commute. And it was, you know, they could live in the country. That sort of, I suppose, that was what it was. And that's how Shoreham has literally evolved. I think Shoreham's one of those places where the people that have come here, most have contributed to the village itself. Things have to move on. Things have to change. Because I'm sure that my own generation changed the village from what it was when my parents and my grandparents were here. You know, you've only got to listen to stories of the turn of the century and what have you. And they were, you know, really farm orientated. In fact, you know, when I think about it, most of the lads of the village here of my age, they went into farming in the village. You know, for argument's sake, Mocker Bokes over the road, he was a farmer. Mike MacDonald, he went on the farms. Reg Russell, he went on the farms. You know, there were quite a lot of the lads in the village who lived in the village of my sort of era went to work on the farms around. I went into the motor trade. But you see, it's different now. Youngsters now, they go off and do, they find their fancy job, in IT or whatever, or go to uni or whatever. It wasn't like that then. That's how the villages changed. And I suppose many villages around have done exactly the same.
Well, thank you very much indeed. I think that's been properly recorded, so I'll turn it off now. It's this square one, I think. Turn.
You stopped it flat, no. Is there